control of the senses. Tapaha, austerity and penance. Shaucham, cleanliness. Santoshaha, satisfaction. Kshantihi, forgiveness, being unagitated by anger. Arjavam, simplicity. Gyanam, knowledge. Daya, mercy. Achyuta Atmavam, accepting oneself as an eternal servant of the Lord. Satyam, truthfulness. Cha, also. Brahma Lakshanam, the symptoms of a Brahmana. Translation. The symptoms of a Brahmana are control of the mind, control of the senses, austerity and penance, cleanliness, satisfaction, forgiveness, simplicity, knowledge, mercy, truthfulness, and complete surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the institution of Varnashrama Dharma, the symptoms of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi are all described. The ultimate aim is Achyutatmavam, to always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna or Vishnu. To make advancement in Krishna consciousness, one has to become a Brahmana with the above-mentioned symptoms. Sounds very familiar, like a Bhagavad Gita verse. Samadhamaktapak shocham. But a little different after that. Santosha kshantir arjavam gyanam dadyachutatmavan satyam cha brahma lakshanam, the symptoms of a Brahmana. So this is chapter 11, which begins with a question raised by Yudhisthira Maharaj to Narada Muni. The whole of Canto 7 is Narada Muni speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira. And the circumstance is the demise of Shishupal during the Rajasuya Yajna resulted in Shishupal's liberation. And after the Yajna was completed, this canto begins with Yudhisthira Maharaj asking Narada Muni, how did that happen? He was so bad. Shishupal was so offensive and bad person. And he got liberation. We all saw it. Soul rose in the air, illumination, and merged into the body of Krishna. Great personalities with great difficulty for lifetimes may pursue liberation and not get liberation. And this bad person got liberation. How? Please explain. And there's many part reply, but the major theme is just see the power of the holy name. How many times did Shishupal call Krishna's name? Just even in that event, 100 times, and before that, so many times. out of derision and scorn. Namabhas. And Namabhas is sufficient to give one liberation, which is speak of Shudhanam. So, this is a very relevant instruction for Hare Krishna devotees, very practical. We should strive for Shudhanam, not just, you know, get a destination like Shishupal, liberation. And then Narada goes on, this is still chapter 1, saying the essence of this Nam and other forms of devotion to Krishna is same as the message of Padma Purana, Smartavya Satatam Vishnur, etc. The essence of all vidhis and nishedhas, the regulations and prohibitions, injunctions and prohibitions, is the vidhis have one purpose. Always remember Krishna. And the prohibitions have one purpose, never forget Krishna. And that's the monarch that rules all of the rules and regulations. And Prabhupada has, in the translation, not the same as the word for word, but achuta atmavan, to always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna or Vishnu. He's saying, Prabhupada is saying in the purport, this is the force behind, the essence behind being a Brahmana. And to be a Brahmana is required before becoming a Vaishnava. Or if one becomes a Vaishnava, one becomes a Brahmana. But we need these qualities. And there's so many things to say. These qualities, not only they're found in the section of the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is describing the qualities of each of the varnas, and it's interesting to note Brahma Karma Swabhava Jam, Swabhava Jam, they arise from contact with the mode of goodness. So the mode of goodness contact results in qualities of goodness, naturally. So devotees, the connection is, Prabhupada is indicating, to be a devotee, you must first be a brahmana, meaning you must be in contact with this quality of goodness, exhibiting these characteristics. The characteristics are symptoms of one's swabhava, material swabhava, not this transcendental swabhava, but it leads to the transcendental identity of the soul in eternal relation with Krishna. Governing that, in this Bhagavatam verse, is being in a position where one is accepting oneself as an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. That's how Prabhupada is translated in the word for word. Achyuta, Atma Vam, having the quality of at the submission and shelter and accepting Achyuta as all in all. In the translation is complete surrender. Not a little bit, but complete surrender. So to get to the point of complete surrender, what about Arjuna? Was he a completely surrendered soul? Of course. Was he a Kshatriya? Yes. And was that his Swabhava? Yes. So how does this fit, the Swabhava of goodness? And if you're supposing you're not, you know, you're not a Pujari, you're not inclined to those activities that brahmanas are inclined to do. Supposing you're chivalrous. Well, if you're Arjuna, you still must know what is to be done. You must be acquainted with the scripture. Continuing tomorrow is a description of each of the other, the kshatriya. And the kshatriya has to know. They have to be submissive to the brahmanas, but they also have to know what's enjoined in the scripture. In fact, that's exactly what Yudhisthira Maharaj is doing. He's a kshatriya, and he's inquiring from Narada Muni many things. So the mind must go to Krishna is essential to be a brahmana and in turn to be a Vaishnava. It's the vidhi of all of the scriptures. All of the scriptures point to that, whatever the scripture may be. Not only the Vaishnava scriptures. Ultimately, it points to that. Bring the mind to Krishna. And in that bringing the mind to Krishna, something has to happen in addition to the mind, and that's submission to Krishna, or taking shelter of Krishna, complete surrender to Krishna. That's an essence message. So, after explaining, it's a nice detail from chapter 1 of this canto. Narada Muni goes on to explain this bringing the mind to Krishna is, there's no greater way to bring the mind to Krishna than anger and envy. Anger and fear. Shishupal and Kamsa were very Krishna conscious. They weren't bhaktas. The anukulyena part was missing. The pleasing to Krishna part was missing. But Narada says, the concentration of the mind upon Krishna is so strong when there's anger and fear. Shishupal and Kamsa. Then he goes on to describe the spontaneous devotion of the residents of Vrindavan. Excuse me, he doesn't say that. That's there's reference to that in There's reference to this seventh canto section. I was just reading this and trying my best to explain it. Sanatan Goswami makes reference to, you can look it up later, 10:29:15. Chapter 29 is Krishna is called the gopis, and they came running. He played upon his flute, and they were forcibly drawn by the sound of Krishna's flute. And Sanatan Goswami makes reference to these verses in the first canto of chapter of canto 7. The mind becomes absorbed with anger and fear, more so than any other thing. But it's not favorable. So when there's emotion, as the gopis, or other emotions, when those emotions are fixed upon the personality of Godhead, the mind goes to the personality of Godhead. The thoughts. Because that's the vidhi. And Sanatan Goswami says, this verse is extolling the virtue of spontaneous devotion, even beyond regulative devotion. Interesting. He's speaking about Vrindavan and disclosing some truths about Vrindavan. It's beyond regulative. It's emotion-packed, centered on Krishna. Different varieties of emotion. One is sure to always think of Krishna in that case, spontaneously. So when one is not there, then one follows the vidhis. so that one can become attached to Krishna, and by becoming attached to Krishna, can think of Krishna. So, back to Canto 7, Chapter 1. We'll get to 11 quickly. Narada goes on and explains that there are many examples of great personalities who became fully Krishna conscious. And when forms of the Lord came and there was anger or fear, so he starts describing different forms of the Lord that appear. And within that section, chapter 5 through 10, the one that's just before this, six chapters describing Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrsimhadev and Hiranyakashipu and the consciousness of both of them. It's a wonderful section, very loved, famous, often referred to section of the Bhagavatam. And so Yudhisthira Maharaj is hearing all of this from Narada, and that begins now as beginning of chapter 11. We're only at verse 21. So Narada hears this question from Yudhisthira, paraphrasing it in simple language. Wow! Prahlad Maharaj, he was topmost devotee. He was way up there. How does one get there? I'm king and it's my duty to lead my citizens and guide my citizens to make progress in their spiritual lives. That's part of my duty as the king. So how do you get there? And Narada appreciates his question and says, well, to get to the position of pure devotee, you have to follow the regulations of Varnashram, but even before you can follow the regulations of Varnashram, you have to be a human being. And then you can properly follow the regulations of Varnashram. Done under proper guidance of a great devotee, then one can achieve pure devotion. So these items, so he goes on then to describe Varnashram system, but a little bit more about being a human being. The section is something that Shivaram Maharaj shared with us. Some of you know Shivaram Maharaj, and the effort that's being made, has been made for several years, to really focus on an unfulfilled instruction of Srila Prabhupada, his desire for Varnashram. Now, part of the reason it hasn't happened is no one has really understood how to make it happen. And what is it, and how to manifest it. But that didn't stop the devotees in Hungary. They have spent years, literally. I spoke with Radhakrishna about it just some days ago, appreciating the efforts that they've made, and he said, we hardly have anything to show. And that's after 3 years of really intensive efforts. So, keeping it short, Shivaram Maharaj shared with a number of devotees an essence of what they've, the progress they've made up to, around this time last year. And the effort resulted in their intention of following Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 11, this one, verses, I forget which ones, 8 through 12 or 8 through 11 or something like that, in that section, where it's 30 qualities of a human being. How to first become a human being. And some of these characteristics of a brahmana are in that list. It's a duplicate, a replication. Some of them. You've got to become a human being before you can. So you can follow a duty, but if you don't have the quality that corresponds with that duty, it's not really Varnashram. You have to become a human being. No. The wet wood need to become dry wood before you can ignite it. Simple. So now moving along, 10 verses later, he's now starting to detail some of the qualifications of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and then the other chapters that follow are expanding on that, the ashram basis as well as the varna basis of the varnashram system. All the purpose of that is, in this one phrase, achyuta, atma, atmatvam. So again, one place it's taking full shelter, complete surrender, and always remember the personality of Godhead, achyuta, the infallible Supreme Lord. When we hear from Shukadeva Goswami, it's towards the end, Canto 12. Shukadeva Goswami makes a true confession, so to speak. He says, previously I was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman. But then hearing about the wonderful activities of achyuta, the transcendental qualities and pastimes of achyuta, I abandoned that happiness by the mercy of Vyasadeva, because Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam and explained it to him, and that attracted him to leave, what to speak of material happiness, even Brahman happiness. He was already in transcendence, and he left it to go beyond transcendence. That beyond transcendence place is the mind absorbed in achyuta atmavam, in a mood of full surrender. The Bhagavatam is such beautiful literature. It plunge in it, and it's so invigorating and cleansing and delightful. And we get the essence. We get details as well, but we get the essence. Like this verse, the essence of becoming a Brahmana, the goal of which is to take full shelter of the personality of Godhead. You have to have that complete shelter, the personality of Godhead. Then it's a Brahmana. So just like, here's another little something. Brahmanism and Vaishnavism, this little publication that Bhaktisiddhanta wrote. It's described in his biography that there was some turmoil between one group of intellectuals and another group of intellectuals. Believe it or not, they disagreed. And when they disagreed, they formed groups. And when they formed groups, it got to be violent. People's lives were at risk. And so they approached, from both sides, had regard and respect for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Can you please settle this dispute before somebody gets hurt? And he was very ill at the time, and he was literally bedridden, and he was calling out in despair, isn't there someone in the whole world that can bring resolution to this issue? His son volunteered, if you like, I'll do it. Oh, very good. So he did. It's described in Raya Vishnu, the life of Bhaktisiddhanta, Rupa Vilas Prabhu's publication. And without the detail, it was a multiple day conference or, you know, convention of intellectuals. And one of the things that you do when you're the main speaker at such an event is you prepare a written paper and then you speak from the message of that paper. So the paper or the message is this book that's now available. The first portion, practically a full day, was describing the glories of a Brahmana from the scripture. very similar to the qualities that are here in this list of this morning's verse. And verse after verse after verse after verse after verse, even the Brahmanas were unaware of some of those scriptural references of verse after verse after verse. So by the end of the day, they're going, wow, this guy's got it. Brahmanism. He knows his stuff. The Brahmanas are superlative. They're the best. But after having invested their confidence in him, the next day was, and a Brahmana must know Brahman. And Brahman in the complete stage is Bhagavan. Therefore, a mature stage of a Brahmana is a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is in superlative position above the Brahmana. Ooh. Ooh. So a Vaishnava must have the qualities of a Brahmana, but it's not sufficient without this one that Prabhupada is highlighting. Achyuta Atmavam. Complete shelter in the personality of Godhead. Which is another way of our ISKCON phrase of Daivi Varnashram. Because there's Varnashram without the Daivi part. There's Brahmanas that aren't Vaishnavas. Smarta Brahmanas and so many. But scripturally, and it's, you know, the evidence is abundantly presented by Bhaktisiddhanta. It's a great text that a Brahmana in the mature stage is a Vaishnava, and therefore the Vaishnava is the topmost position. There was other elements in that whole discussion. It went on for 3 days, back and forth, and many of the stalwart scholars were supporting Bhaktisiddhanta's message. And it ended up with a 2-hour non-stop Bhaktisiddhanta-esque, you know, hammering. And according to the biography, everybody stood up and gave him a standing ovation. Both sides. Conclusive truths. But, you know, so many, many, many references from Scripture, but certainly in harmony with and commensurate with the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So which is, in a nutshell, what Prabhupada is saying here in his purport. A Brahmana must be a Vaishnava. Or, conversely, a Vaishnava must be a Brahmana, at least in terms of these principles. Full shelter, mind fixed upon Krishna. They've achieved the essence of the vidhis and nishetas of all the scripture. Thus, a Vaishnav. It all points to that. Points to taking shelter of the personality of Godhead. So, it's 25 to the hour. I was thinking to spend some time. It's real easy to just go, go, go. Some of these qualities and some of the messages from Prabhupada's teachings about these qualities. We'll do a little bit. It's easy to go on and on. Samantamaktapakshocham. In chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita, the divine and demoniac chapter, describing the qualities of the divine, this principle of shocham is mentioned. There's so many little references like this, but there, the divine is not just the Brahmana, so shocham in that case, Prabhupada says, is not just cleanliness in body and cleanliness in behavior, cleanliness in body and cleanliness in mind, but cleanliness in behavior. He specifically says this refers to vaishyas that should not work on the black market. So a divine person doesn't do that. Divine person is shocham in their behavior, their activity, their livelihood. They don't do that. Shocham, a divine person. Tapa austerity and penance is in the word for word. We have that description in Bhagavad Gita, tapa. How should Vaishnavas, Prabhupada instructing his followers, his students, the world, the acceptance of some austerity on sacred days, the appearances of Lord Vishnu, or on Ekadasi day, or the appearances of great Vaishnavas. So we observe some bodily inconvenience or dhamma, control of the senses, control of the mind, and increase our hearing and chanting. It's encouraged to do like that because these are auspicious days and these are recommended forms for the Hare Krishna followers, the followers of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. These are appropriate tapas. Now it can go further, but they're directional and there's further and further details of what might do on those auspicious days. But it's an opportunity to become a human being, it's an opportunity to become a Brahmin, it's an opportunity to become a qualified Vaishnav to observe these principles. And simplicity is mentioned. Yeah, Arjavam, similar to the list in the Bhagavad Gita. In this Brahmanism and Vaishnavism essay of Bhaktisiddhanta, a passage I really like that it applies to this is Bhaktisiddhanta says, outstanding amongst the qualities of a Brahmana is their straightforwardness or simplicity. And he gives the example of Gautama and Satyakama Jabala. So one boy becomes inspired by Gautama and wishes to become his student, his disciple. And Gautama says, very well, what is your gotra? And he says, I don't know. Well, go ask your mother, she'll tell you. So he goes to ask his mother, and his mother says, I don't know. When I was young, I was a maidservant, and I was with so many men, I don't even know who your father is. So I can't say, what is your gotra? But my name is Jabala. Tell Gautama, you're such a Kama Jabala. So he went and told Gautama everything his mother said, not concealing anything, because it's embarrassing to say those things. And Gautama said, very well, I accept you as my disciple, because this is the qualification of simplicity and straightforwardness. And here's some service, you go gather wood and never depart from the truth. So satyam is also here, but sometimes satyam is not readily available if one is not simple in heart. And on occasion Prabhupada would say, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and difficult for the crooked. So it's a Vaishnava quality, and it's also a Brahminical quality. One last thing, I just want to leave some time for discussion. I think there'll be just a nice section, see if there's some discussion. There's a section in Uddhava Gita, 11th canto Bhagavatam, where Krishna specifically says to Arjuna that the quality that one has, mentioning this, you know, Vaishya karma swabhavajam, Kshatriya karma swabhavajam, Brahma karma swabhavajam, are the qualities that we have, they're arising from our swabhava, and our swabhava has so much to do with the modes of nature with which we're accustomed to associate. So, is it possible to change your swabhava? the characteristics that you have. And Krishna says yes, and he gives a whole series of things that one can do. Put it in really simple language, is follow the process of Krishna consciousness, or say it the other way. The process of Krishna consciousness given by our founder Acharya is such that it can change our swabhava, it can change our nature. And the driving force of all of that is not tinkering with your nature, but it's the driving force is surrender to Krishna. And the impetus of taking full shelter of Krishna is the driving force, the power that enables one to follow the vidhis and nishetas of bhakti so that your qualities can change. The mode of nature with which you're accustomed to associate, and then in turn qualities can change. But it's not just changing of behavior. We're not the International Society for Behavior Modification Incorporated. We're the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And then one's character can change, or one's behavior can change, one's qualities can become elevated and become a true Vaishnava. That's the gift. And the Srimad Bhagavatam gives that, our Acharyas give that, our founder Acharya abundantly gave that to all of us. Please take it, is the request. And then, having taken it, give it to others in whatever form suits, in Harinam Sankirtan or book distribution or teaching. So many ways of reaching the non-devotee population and furthering the qualification of the devotee population. That's Krishna consciousness. Receive this gift and do it carefully, mindfully, with your mind upon pleasing and serving Krishna, and give it to others according to your capacity. So it really helps, more than it really helps. It's necessary to very carefully read Prabhupada's books to know what the direction is to go in, to achieve and receive and give the gift of Krishna consciousness. It's not just notional, it's rich and complete understanding by the sacrifice of our founder Acharya to make available exhaustive writings on the process of Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop so we have some discussion. I'm assuming in Vrindavan there's lively discussion. I hope I'm right. Any comments or questions? Yes. It's a trick microphone. Go ahead, speak.
You said that behavior, the movement is not for behavior modification.
Uh-huh.
But when we serve the Lord, the behavior changes of both kinds. One is not clean, but by chanting the holy name, one gets the understanding that cleanliness is pleasing to the Lord.
My message is not. Did you hear? Say it again so that everyone can hear your question.
See, behavior modification is a byproduct of bhakti. Our movement is not meant for the behavior modification, it's for Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
But when we do bhakti, the change will come, behavior will be modified. So, what is that?
Yeah, the message is The essence is not change of behavior. Doesn't mean we don't change behavior. We ignore it. We do whatever we like to do because we like to do it, and that's all that counts, is just change the consciousness. We follow vidhis. It's required. But it's not, following a vidhi isn't equal to Krishna consciousness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. You don't want to get to God, if you don't want to get to godliness, stay unclean. Anyway, there's behavior, there's vidhis and nishetas, and we follow them. Okay? Two hands up there. Pass it back, please. Well, listen to the list of qualities and see if these are reasonable list of qualities that a Vaishnava should have. Control of the mind. Yes. A Vaishnava should have control of the senses. Austerity and penance. Mentioned, you know, prescribed Vaishnava austerities. Hey, I'm not a Brahmana, so I can't observe a codicy. We austerity and penance. Cleanliness. It's listed, interestingly, in the Shudra quality as cleanliness. Satisfaction. Forgiveness. Simplicity, knowledge, mercy, truthfulness. Those are human qualities. So, again, I made reference, Arjuna, he was a Kshatriya. He had, a qualification that powerful warrior. But he had these qualities. Good. Welcome. Nice journey, isn't it? Dilemma. And now question is what to do? Okay, you ready? There's more or you want to... Okay. What you described is textbook. It's called anishtata. The prefix a or a in front is negative. And then the word that follows is nishta. Or anishtata is nishta is steady, and anishtata is unsteady, and unsteady precedes steady. And what's between unsteady and steady is eradication of things in the heart that don't belong there. The unsteadiness is caused by those impure things in the heart that don't belong there. So it has some cleaning. And patience. And when there's the worldliness is, you know, you're in a down sign curve. Inside, covered, but inside is this, I want to know. It's covered during the down slope of the sine curve. But it's there. And identify consciousness, the soul is conscious and consciousness. Identify with that. That's you. And the other is, you know, the changing influences of the temporary. Sometimes and sometimes. Sometimes it's day, sometimes it's night. Sometimes it's wet, sometimes it's dry. Sometimes the duality of material existence. So that's what's happening. It's the duality of material existence. Remain patient. And as best you can, according to the strength that you have, know that inside there's this I want to know place deep within. Maybe covered, but it's there. At least recognize it if you can't be focused upon it. And then as you're exploring, time will pass. And so there the objective is to cleanse those things that don't belong in the heart. Purity. And the means to strive for purity, there is purificatory activities. One of them, a principal one, is chanting the holy name. And there's abundant references, scriptural references, to say it's stronger than darkness. It's light. So if you're cold and you want to get warm, stand by a fire. You get warm. So if you're in a down slope, stand by something that you recognize there's purity. And so, well, what's pure? And, you know, that's a, you know, an important question. What's truth and what's reality? And, you know, that's what I'm searching for. But there's some light. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here in Vrindavan. You'd be somewhere else. And maybe you're on one of the, you know, the slope that's going up like that. But when it's there, there's something inside that you recognize that there's some purity here. Yeah. Yeah. You're saying the same thing and I'll say the same thing. There's a Sanskrit term for all this. It's classic. It's textbook. It's called anartha. 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 Well, I'll say it in English. Anartha means something unwanted. Artha is something wanted. And the opposite is something unwanted. It can be described. It is described. But even if you don't know the description, it's something unwanted. And it doesn't belong there. It's dirt in the heart. And that dirt needs to be cleansed. And it's not like, okay, got a powerful cleanser and it's gone. It took a while for it to get there. It takes a while for it to be eradicated. So patience. When you stand next to the fire, you're not immediately warm. It takes a while. But you get warm because you're standing near a fire. So that's what the thing is, that's, you know, this inside thing that's blocking. It's something unwanted. And there's categories, you can learn about them, but at least understand in principle and bring yourself to something that's pure. Now I'm looking at the clock. The clock says it's time to end the class. So thank you all very much for attending. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.